There it is. This is the is this the one from Always Sunny, though? This sounds like a different version.
It's the fully produced Always Sunny version.
Oh, okay. I've only seen it on the actually on the show.
They made a soundtrack and put this down. Okay. Yeah.
That, one of the most hilarious episodes of that show ever. Always Sunny in Philadelphia is classic, man.
This is so good. This so great.
You love this. You could sit here all day. Champion of the sun.
Master of
karate and friendship.
It's so
Tom
great.
Kelly in for Joe DeCamera today. This is the morning show, talking a lot about the Sixers today and the Nightman. There you go.
Yes, I will be the what are we saying? The ball,
the ball man.
Or the
ball
net man.
You're the ball man.
The ball man?
Yes.
I will be the ball man.
The ball man cometh.
Yeah,
at,
I will be
tennis
the ball
courts near
man.
You.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. John's going to be the ball man next week.
So that really is a compelling production.
Yeah.
But again, he's Rob McElhaney's like a Philly guy too, like another local guy.
Well, he went to the same high school
Shane
as DeCamera.
Gillis, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about all these local guys. Today.
Yeah,
right. Guys making good.
Yeah, how about that?
But Rob McElhaney, unfortunately, not as local for me personally.
But more local for everybody else.
Much more local for you, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I can't wait to try to talk to that guy.
Try to talk to Rob or try to talk to Gillis?
Well, both of them.
There you go.
They're both fascinating guys. They're both doing great.
215-592-9494. You want to get in. Talking a lot about the Sixers today. This Joel Embiid article. Do you place more blame on the Sixers or Joel Embiid for the failures during his tenure here? Our side topic today. Give us somebody that's multi-talented. And I guess you could call Shane Gillis multi-talented. I mean, he's a comedian, obviously. And then he showed
Actor.
Off his acting as well in the show Tires. Does he produce that show, too? I think
it's like totally his show on Netflix. And I mean, I will say it's not for everyone, but there are parts where I just laugh out loud. He's very good in it.
Yeah. And we played some sound for you earlier from Shane Gillis of the ESPYs, kind of making some jokes at other teams' expense as the Eagles won the Best Team of the Year award. He also did a little skit where he is, I guess this is the history of the Tush Push. And showing how it actually came about in his eyes before the Eagles ended up getting wind of it. Here was how the skit sounded last night.
You guys are getting stuffed. Can't get short yardage. Football's a game of inches. Right now, you guys aren't getting those inches. But I have a play. I've been dreaming about it my whole life. It requires the entire offense acting as one.
Yeah.
A play that cannot be stopped.
Hell yeah.
Come on, coach.
One team.
One team.
Yeah. One heartbeat. Yeah. You guys want to hear about the play?
Yeah.
You guys want to hear the play?
Yeah.
All right. Picture this.
You're going to line up at center. All right. JT, you're going to line up right behind him. We're going to get two guys behind you. This is where the play gets good. At the snap, you dive right into his butt.
What? No, I don't.
And then both those guys behind him are going to grab him by the hips and shove them even harder into your butt.
No, that doesn't even sound like a good idea.
Hold
that
on.
Hurts.
Let him cook.
Then we're going to pull maybe a tackle, maybe a tight end. Get more meat
more
behind you.
Players?
More meat. Think about it. 10 guys barging right into your back door.
I can't. Is that even a legal play?
Yes.
Well, there it is. That was I don't know what to say. I hadn't heard it before that. But Shane Gillis then right after went and talked to Nick Sirianni. You talk about an awkward interview. I give Nick credit. Nick said, yeah, that's basically exactly how it went down. But then Nick went into the coach speak. He said, oh, it's really the guys behind me. And Gillis is like, all right, time to wrap this up. Nick was going into Nick mode where it was like he morphed into press conference Nick. Uh-oh. And not the most entertaining during the ESPYs.
No, he couldn't just have like he had like a little fun with it, but couldn't have too much fun with it with Milata sitting right
behind
him.
Responsible Nick. See, that's not as
that's
good.
Super Bowl winning head coach I Nick Sirianni. He's matured, Nick.
Well, now he's polished, responsible Nick.
He still has the shaved head.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you, the rest of the we need to take note of the way the world will perceive him differently. Finally. I mean, I do too. I feel differently about him. I feel like he really has come into his own as a head coach, which is part of what Jeffrey Lurie had planned all along. You know, he continues to grow, and the 1% thing applies to him too. But now that he's been, you know, not even anointed, when you win a Super Bowl as a head coach, you know, people start to give you that respect that he has been lacking.
Hold on, John.
If that's going to happen.
It was a Pro Football Focus who listed the top 10, or maybe ESPN, the top 10 returning coach quarterback duos. They finished. He finished like 9th or 10th. He and Jalen.
Yeah, I mean,
they had Aaron. I think they had Aaron Rodgers and Tomlin ahead of them.
Right. I don't think Nick Sirianni's going to get the respect that
Mike Tomlin
deserves.
And Aaron
Rodgers
is kind of an interesting combo, and I can.
Aaron Rodgers has been dreadful the past couple years, and Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game since 2016.
Yeah, I think Sirianni deserves a lot more credit, but I don't know.
He does deserve a lot more credit.
I think if the Eagles go through a rough patch, I think nationally, people will come right back to Nick Sirianni. What does he do?
All right, maybe. But I'm going to be surprised if the world doesn't give him a lot of flowers heading into the season. I think that respect he's been working toward and deserving of is finally going to be heaped on him, at least at the start of the season. I know things will go awry, and I know people will start to question his methodology again. But he's now a Super Bowl winning coach. And that matters so much. And I'm glad for him that he'll get a lot more, you know, belief automatically from this point forward.
I certainly hope it does play out that way because I think he absolutely deserves it. 215-592-9494. Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Who do you blame more for the Sixers' failures, Joel Embiid or the Sixers? So you're welcome to get in on that. Let's go to Tim and Kennett Square. What's up, Tim?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Tim. You know you can't burn mushrooms?
Why are you telling him that? Because it's the mushroom capital of the world?
Yeah. That was the fact 3 hours and 15 minutes ago from John.
Well, I guess it's really hard to burn mushrooms. And you know why, Tim?
No, I don't know.
Because they're made from chitin. C-H-I-T-I-N. This stuff that they're made out of, this fibrous stuff, it's more resilient to heat than the stuff that makes up other vegetables and meats.
Huh.
Yeah,
you there you go, Tim. What do you got on that?
And it won't get mushy.
What do you got on the Sixers, Tim?
I'm a Sixers, you know, longtime Sixers fan, longtime Eagles fan, first time caller.
Thank you.
I was at the game one game back when they were in the finals that the other caller alluded to, and that was an amazing night. You know, trust the process. You know, I think it's on management, right? Like, to the other caller, you know, Bynum, Nolan, Okafor, Fultz, Simmons, like, Embiid's a great player. I'm an Embiid guy, Embiid fan, so he's the last guy here, and I'm not gonna blame Embiid for all the problems with the trust the process.
Yeah, I mean, Tim, I think people who are probably on your side and are pro Embiid people probably feel a lot that way today. Is when you look at this, the organization has done a lot wrong. There's no question about it.
What about Tim? There's a sentence in this article that I think says so much and I think represents a lot. His mood, meaning Joel's mood, descends on him and becomes the weather of a whole game, a whole team, a whole season. I do think, man, isn't that what we're talking about here? The moodiness, the swings, and the way that impacts everyone around you. Man, in basketball especially, when you've only got five who take the court, you know, each one is at least 20% of the input that you're dealing with. In Joel's case, it's like, wow, overwhelming how much you have to deal with here because of just the lack of, I don't know,
He's a very isolated person. That comes off
social development, yeah, almost.
In there because he just said his parents are real private. You know, yeah. He's real private. There you go. He's got 9,500 unread text messages. He does not return messages or phone calls. You got to go through his wife or his agent or whatever.
And how do you let that as an organization? Yeah. How do you allow that to be the case? Can you imagine? Like, those are unread messages. Does that mean that when the Sixers try to get in touch with them about a change in practice time,
maybe
they can't?
Well, this is the problem, and I do think it's a problem for a player who's supposed to be a leader on a team when he isolates himself.
You can't be a leader appropriately if you're not properly informed.
Absolutely.
He can't be informed if he's not taking calls ever from anybody.
Exactly. What do you got for our side topic, Tim?
Well, he obviously needs to do better with that regard and, you know, with the new pick.
Well, Tim, who's multi-talented, man? We got to move on. What do you got?
Oh, you got to move on, multi-talented. I think that's easy. I think the only guy to win at the college level, the only guy to win as a player in the NBA, the only guy to win as a coach, the only guy to win as an executive, Pat Riley.
Pat Riley, that's a good one. Pat Riley.
Yeah, that is a great answer.
Good at pretty much every level.
But it's
level.
All in basketball. I mean...
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of different jobs.
Yeah, I know. I think people who mix up different, you know.
Sports.
Like different kind of talents.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Deion Sanders one is really good.
Right.
I mean, it was baseball, football, and now he's broadcasting and a coach.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been pretty amazing at all of it.
Yeah. So a little different there. I'd agree. But now it is time for life advice with Tom Kelly.
My life's a waste of time.
It's time.
I'm a tool.
For life advice with the hammer.
You know how rock bottom your life gotta be to get life advice from Joe the Camera?
The hammer.
I'm an idiot.
Idiot. Come on, Buzz. You can't make a custom. Idiot. You usually make your custom
so
opens
I was
for
going to. But the problem was it's all Joe in that intro, so it just wouldn't have even been the intro. Usually it's like one line where it's like with Joe to camera, it was all Joe speaking.
Well, you couldn't throw some of my drops in there.
I would have had to make a whole new
he
one. I thought
had
about
to work.
Yeah, yeah. I would have had to make one way too late.
God forbid I asked Buzz to
Vonnie,
do his job.
I did try and do it in the last break. It was too much to pull off.
It actually was.
I know. My God.
Vonnie had to spend 5.5 hours reading the Joel Embiid story.
True. Exactly.
It's a lot going on here, Tom.
I'm not blaming Vonnie. I'm blaming Buzz.
I'm well aware.
Yeah, I'll always blame Buzz. Life advice brought to you by MHS Lift. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse efficiency assessment, any type of material handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, go to MHSLift.com. All right, Buzz, what do we have for life advice today? What am I advising?
So this comes an anonymous submission on the text line. Now, you're going to think that this is me writing this, but I assure you it isn't.
Okay, so it was Mike.
It was not Mike. It's not someone from here. This is someone on the text line. Hey, Tom, big fan here. I'm coming to you with a problem I really hope you specifically can help with. I'm a rising senior at a local high school, and I've had a huge crush on this girl for a few years now.
Hmm.
With just a year before graduation, I'm hoping to tell her how I feel about her and ideally pursue a relationship with her. There's just one issue. She's almost a full head taller than me.
Wow.
I've always been self-conscious about my height, and to make matters worse, her two previous boyfriends were both tall guys. How do I overcome my insecurity? Also, any tips you have for asking out girls would be a big help, too. Thanks.
Wow. Buzz, there's no question in my mind that you and Mike combined to write this.
We had nothing to do with it.
But,
this is a really interesting question. Really interesting.
For this person out there, I think you got to tell her how you feel. I mean, it does it just because you're a shorter... It does not mean that you cannot have a relationship with a taller female or, you know, guy, whatever. I think you just got to be honest. You got
to so uncomfortable.
This is awesome, man.
Or whatever your preference is. Yeah,
you just got to tell her how you feel, and you know, and hope for the best. I think that's all you can do.
That is really strong. That's really strong. Well, that matters. And be confident with it.
Yeah.
You know what? Be confident with it.
My wife's taller than me. How do you think I got her confidence?
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
That's beautiful. It doesn't matter. The height does not matter.
No.
What we're talking about here is you're looking for someone that you can talk to, that you can learn about and have fun with. You know, so that's it. It doesn't matter who, if you're 6 foot or 1 foot. You're just gonna.
Well, one foot might be a problem.
I mean, that's a little too extreme. For
yeah,
you.
maybe a little bit. Yeah, but I think you know you got to be honest. You got to tell
awful.
Her how you feel.
You're kind of a bad person, then, Tom.
Why am I a bad
discriminatory
person?
Like by height?
Oh, okay.
Now
yes.
Getting
oh, yeah.
Into,
I'm the one discriminating against short people.
So
yeah.
1 foot's too short.
I'm well known for discriminating against short
people.
That's kind
of messed
up.
That's
my thing.
Now, like 1 foot, just like is that the line?
You know
that
what?
You draw?
1 foot's fine. Whatever. you just got to go up with confidence. That's all that matters. And I mean. You can. There's no rules against dating a girl taller than you. You can do it. Just go.
Nicole Kidman was like a foot taller than Tom Cruise.
Oh my gosh. Keith Urban.
Yeah, Keith.
Also,
she's taller than her
husband now.
But seriously, I would say if you have a crush or anything like that, you regret it if you don't say anything, right?
Oh, you gotta.
You
seize
gotta go
the day.
For it,
you
man.
Gotta seize the day, and I promise you, you won't regret it. Because someday, 20 years from now, if you don't, that's going to come back and haunt you.
It might haunt you forever.
What could have been? You never want to wonder what could have been. You got to try. You got to give it a chance. And you know what? It's going to pay off for you. Because each time you do this, it'll get a little easier. And you'll learn, hey, you know what? A lot of times, everyone else is just as afraid as I am to talk to new people, and they appreciate that I'm actually making that step forward.
And I get it's difficult in high school. I mean, you know, you're nervous about asking a girl out, asking a girl to dance or whatever, but you got to just do it. So that's life advice today with TK with a little bit of assistance from John.
That was awesome. That was really beneficial.
There you go.
Bravo, Tom.
Thank you. Bravo to you,
talkative
John.
Talkative Tom.
Thanks for helping me out with that. I appreciate it.
Woo. Well, that's like firsthand. I. That's great. Man.
You got to be confident.
That's better than Joe DeCamera. Right
you got to be
that
confident.
We actually benefited society.
And it helps to have a good wingman, too. When I met my wife, do you know who my wingman was that night?
Big Daddy.
No. He's in the building today. You saw him this morning.
Mike Angelina.
No. Down the hallway. Kind
Tucker?
Of a No, kind of a
oh
an awkward fellow.
U-Ram.
Yes.
Wow.
U-Ram was out with me the night that I met my wife. And I bought him a beer and he threw it away. He didn't even give it back to me. He wouldn't drink it, and instead of giving the beer back to me to drink, he just threw it in
that?
The trash. Because
why?
Because he's Dave. I don't know.
Yeah.
He threw it away.
I mean, Rhea is actually not surprised by that at all.
He threw the whole beer away.
Yeah, it was like a can of PBR or something. He just threw it in the trash.
No
That's
way.
You,
I'm like,
impossible.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Did he hold it for a long time?
He held it. He looked at it and he threw it away.
We knew Dave, you know, since he was an intern with us, you know, back in the day, and we set him up on a date with somebody. This is, you know, long before he married his lovely wife. And he had a parfait, and we lost our minds. Like she said, once he ordered the parfait, she really had no interest.
Yeah. So that
I love John's
But
face.
It worked for me. I mean,
did he actively help parfait at one point also?
Maybe
you said
Dave
it worked
made me
for
look,
you?
Maybe, well, maybe Dave
it
made me look better. I think that's what helped, you know. Maybe it made me look a little better.
Dave actually.
Like, this guy's a little more normal than this other guy is.
Did you tell Uram that's why you're happy he was there for you? Like,
No.
Because it sounds like initially you're
facetious.
Like, man, he's my wingman. He did me a solid.
Yeah.
Now you're saying the real truth
I love Uram. I mean, we all. He's a great guy. We all do.
You find him unattractive to ladies.
No, I don't find him unattractive. His personality's quirky.
You find him so unattractive that it made you more attractive.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, you're a jerk. I'm saying that he's got a little bit of a quirky personality.
Dave's 100% quirky.
Yeah.
That's why we love him.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. When we get back, we'll get through everybody's calls here. Also got Times Yours coming up. Make sure you call Times Yours line 215-238-4500. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCameron. This is the morning show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCameron today. This is the morning show. And this is great. Just talking to her in the break. John Runyon has now sent you, John, a picture of Junior Seau just lighting you up. I love this, that John Runyon, this big, high-up executive in the NFL, is spending his morning listening to our show and mocking you. It's just awesome stuff.
I guess you're right. Yeah. And it's, it really is. It's a life-size, mural-sized, action shot.
So this is at the Chargers facility? What's he doing out there today?
NFL headquarters. This is at NFL.
Why is that picture hanging up at NFL headquarters?
That's pretty funny.
I'm not sure.
So weird.
I'm not sure if this was. I don't know what in the world it's not at. Where is this not posted? What book is this not on? Again, it was on the cover of the San Diego phone book. So millions and millions of homes. Who knows? I mean, and then phone books kind of stopped. Like, those phone books are probably still being used in some places. And
that's
now
great.
This thing, it's at NFL Films. Who knows? It's probably at NFL headquarters. It's just everywhere. It's a huge hit. And as I said, I was not able to chew food properly for at least a month after this.
Really?
He got me. He got like my jaw.
Right in
it
the
was
jaw.
One of those things. I don't know why. Just a weird thing. That's the only time I ever had a hit where my jaw was that sore. But,
how about that? Crazy stuff. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, few things wanted to mention real quick here. As you heard Rhea in the update mentioned earlier, unfortunate news today is Brian Braman, former Eagle, was on the 2017 championship team.
Great special teams player.
Passed away today. Yeah, great special teams player. And if you hear anybody on that team talk about it, apparently an epic pregame speech before Super Bowl 52.
He was a really interesting character and had an amazing story. I believe when he was in high school, he was homeless. And, but he had coaches who helped get him to college and then to the Texans to watch his tape. And was beloved by his teammates.
Yeah, and I think it was Chris Long who talked about it on his podcast and just talked about, this epic speech that Brian Braman had. So, thoughts and prayers to his family as he unfortunately passed this morning. And another piece of NFL news, did want to mention Von Miller late last night. He signs a one-year deal with the Washington Commanders.
They got a lot of older players there.
I'll tell you what, the Commanders, they're feeling a little... like a little, not dream team-ish necessarily, but they bring in Debo, they bring in Von Miller. They have this Terry McLaurin contract situation, which does not seem like it's in a good place right now.
How do you not pay that guy?
Yeah, and
just what happens,
I think,
man.
Daniels is great, but I don't know, man. It's a lot of success really quickly. A lot of times when teams have years like that, they take a step back the next year.
Oh, I think that he will have some games where teams get the better of him because that's just what happens. He's precocious. I mean, he's so far ahead of schedule. He's going to be good. He's going to be impressive, but there will be times that teams get inside his head. There will be times that teams see what he struggled with a little bit and try to capitalize and build upon that and have success.
Is it crazy to think the Cowboys might be the bigger threat to the Eagles in the East this year?
I cannot imagine that would be the case. I do not think it's going to be that way, but the Cowboys will have talent. If they can get it all signed up to these over, I mean, really.
They got a lot of issues.
Overblown
down there.
Contracts.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
They got great receivers, but they're both a handful.
And they
with
just.
A new coaching staff.
And this Parsons thing, well, they still haven't found a resolution to this with Micah Parsons. So.
Well, that's it. The cap hit they're taking for their quarterback is insane.
What is that, $50
million? It's a nonstop. Yeah. Just. They do contracts the wrong way. And. Well, I'm glad. We should thank our lucky stars that, you know, they're so foolish with the way they handle things.
Yeah. I know everybody thinks the Giants are going to stink. They're not going to stink on the defensive, especially on the defensive front.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Offensively they're not, but I mean, they're going to be a handful defensively.
I just have no clue what they're doing with the quarter. Like, why would you sign Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, yeah, and draft a quarterback in the first round? It makes absolutely no sense. But real quickly, before we get back to the phones, I did want to, we'll put a bow on this Joel Embiid thing with, you know, my overall takeaway from this is that this kind of relationship is over. And this was really what made me feel that way. And this is kind of how the piece ended here. But they talk about Embiid and how things are going to look moving forward with his injury. And he says, we're not going to push anything. For my whole career, I felt like we never took that approach. We don't have a timeline. Hopefully sooner rather than later. Then he was asked if the organization supports his new approach. He said, I don't know how they feel. The only thing I'd say is this is a business. It's all about results. If I come back early and I'm not myself, guess what? You're not winning any games. So I would say not an encouraging sign that the middle of July, he says, I don't know how they feel about my injury. Feels like everybody's really on the same page here.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that bodes well.
Yeah. So Daryl Morey, you know, even though he tells us Joel's on track, according to Joel, he hasn't been in very much communication with the team. So, doesn't seem to be headed down a great path.
But this article tells us that he is gearing up to make this like the charge of the second half of his career.
Yeah, okay.
We've heard that before. And yeah, he's still not even been cleared for full on-court basketball activities.
I'm not buying it. I hope it does work out, but I'm not buying it. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Cowboy Jim. What's up, Jim?
If Dak stays healthy, the Commanders are old, the Giants stink, and the Eagles have a tough schedule, the Cowboys win the East, hands down.
You have a chance for second place, Jim. I mean, they have a chance for second place. They're not competing with the Eagles.
What, after your schedule, you'll be destroyed by the middle of the season with that schedule. There's no way.
Jim, they basically play all the same teams.
Yeah, you have a bad schedule too, man.
The Eagles have like two different opponents than the Cowboys.
We have a bad schedule for like four weeks in a row, and that's about it. We'll be fine. Listen, TK. You are a workhorse. You are. You are working every day, almost every show. Pretty soon you're going to be working all three shows in a row. You'll be crying like Richie does pretty soon.
Well, I was crying early on in the show. Man. My contact lens was messing with me.
He was bawling.
Actually, I was really just upset that John wasn't rallying behind Joe. That was why I was sad.
Talkative Tom, and I'm a little bit intimidated by the way he's getting after it.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah.
Thanks, John. And thanks, John, for that Cowboy story earlier. It got my day started off to a really good start. And
we ended up winning that game, though.
There you go, John.
Eric Turner with a last-second interception. Eric Turner, rest his soul. Rest in peace.
I had forgotten, but I love seeing you fall on your face. That was hilarious.
That's mean, Jim.
Yeah, it looked ugly.
What do you got for our side topic, Jim?
Listen, multi-talented, three-time Hall of Fame quarterback, Troy Aikman, best play-by-play on TV. And by the way, Tony Romo is a close second, so someday it'll be an
oh, my gosh.
Wait, I think Tony just choked again.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Oh, I can't believe
Too bad he doesn't do play-by-play, which is what he said.
Yeah, he's a color commentator.
Who's awful. He might be the worst color commentator I've ever heard in my entire life.
Romo, right? Roma. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I like Aikman.
Aikman's good. I meant Romo.
Aikman's overly critical of the Cowboys. Like, he almost can't stand them on the air.
Yeah.
He does get after them.
I miss Aikman and Buck. Like, I like them on Monday Night Football, but I miss them at Sunday 4:25.
Yeah.
Yeah. But definitely an upgrade over Monday Night Football, because the Monday Night Football broadcast has gotten awful there for a little bit of a time period.
Wow.
So.
You're a harsh judge.
I am. I mean, were you watching Monday Night Football when, like, Sean McDonough was calling it?
Brian Greasy?
I mean, I went to school with Brian.
Greasy. Oh.
I went to college with Brian Guy.
Well, he at wasn't Michigan, a very good commentator.
Yeah, I went to Michigan with Brian. He was a walk-on when he first got there.
Really?
He was like our sixth string quarterback, maybe even seventh, and worked his way up to co-national champion as a fifth-year senior.
Did you play with Brady at Michigan at all?
No, he got there in August of 95. I transferred out in January of 95.
Okay. And now he's the Greasy's what, the quarterback's coach with Sam Fran?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. When last I checked. Yeah. Which says a lot. I mean, the guy's pretty smart.
Did it help? I mean, you said he was a walk-on at Michigan. Did it help, like, because of who his dad was?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I'm just assuming, but yeah. I mean, you know, even to get a walk on, I mean, his dad was pretty famous.
Yeah, definitely. That's got to be a check mark in your favor for sure. But now,
I don't know if people realize that, because he ended up working his way up to being the quarterback of the team that was in 1997.
Yeah,
national
ended up
championship
having
by a lot of people's, the way they valued it or scored it. So good for him.
And great kind of a Brian. Nice NFL career, too. Little bit with Denver.
Yeah, he did. I had to play against him twice a year,
every year
when I was out there in Oakland for almost five years. But then it was who else was there? Anyway, he did a lot in the league, and then was a backup for a lot of years in the league, and that's
well, I'm sorry for coming after his commentating. That was wrong of me.
What was wrong with it?
He was just a little boring, a little dry. Yeah. But now it's
was
time to do what we do.
Than he was?
Every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
This time's yours.
Yeah, I just didn't think he was great. I wanted to get the open in there, but I wanted to respond to you too.
I like Brian Greasy, but you like Bob and Brian. You like Bob better.
I don't
than
know
Brian
much about Bob. Bob played before I was alive, so I don't.
But as a commentator, is Bob?
Yeah, I don't remember
significantly
him.
Better than Brian.
I don't. Yeah, I don't remember him as a commentator, but sure, I'll say yes, he was. Mm-hmm. Time's yours. Brought to you by Xfinity Mobile, sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go, only from Xfinity Mobile.
Morning is 7:08. John Ritchie doesn't get the concept of what a teammate is. He's not supportive of Joe DeCamera unless Joe DeCamera has certain stipulations in why he's doing it. He's your teammate, John. Get on board.
Makes a good point. Get on board.
This is a Joe versus Jack.
Morning show versus afternoon show.
It's not morning show afternoon
that's
show.
That's what it's turned into.
It's Joe versus Jack.
No longer. Morning show versus afternoon show. What's next?
Well, listen, Tom Kelly, that's what I'm calling. You're trying to force Richie you're trying to bully him to unrecognize something that he learned a long time ago how to recognize, the fraud. That's what DeCamera is. He refuses to recognize the fraud as a teammate.
Now, do you endorse that? You endorse that?
Wow.
Him calling Joe a fraud?
Yes, I think it's a fraudulent claim that Joe says he's a better athlete than Jack Fritz.
Why do you think Jack's such a great athlete? I'm curious.
I don't, but I don't think Joe is a better athlete than Jack Fritz.
Okay. Oh,
well, I just love the concept of TK bullying John Ritchie.
Yes, that is a funny concept. what do we got next, Buzz?
Yo, we live, we hot. Shut up. Oh, then you got Spuddy Keskin over there being a pitchman like Flavor Flav.
You had to say that three times yesterday, trying to get a chuckle out of somebody. Shut up. Time's yours, knucklehead.
Coming after Andy Depper. Yeah.
Caller on Andy Crime is fun.
And I can recognize that voice. That was Ron Imanco coming after Andy.
Who was it? Okay.
Ron Imanco. I believe so.
I don't think it was.
Maybe not. I think it was Ron.
Really?
I think
Ron,
so.
You think that was Ron Imanco?
I do. I think that
I
was Ron.
I certainly think that was someone else that we know, but not Ron.
I endorse Crime on Andy.
Oh, yeah. Deford. Oh, totally. 100%.
Yeah. What do we got next?
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
It came pretty smooth.
He's late firing the first clip that I was going to let slide. And then, you know, you don't tell me how many we have. What are you doing in there,
Buzz? I know.
You don't make the open for life advice.
I know. What a poor job by me today.
Yeah. Bad work by Buzz. What do you think, John? Am I being too hard on him?
I mean, talk about a bad teammate.
No, I actually maybe. Why are you not more supportive? He's on our team. You can't say anything negative about Buzz. He's your teammate.
Well, I've worked with Buzz for long enough. I think that's how you get the best out of him.
Don't you think challenge a teammate and say they're wrong?
Like, you can, sure.
Right.
But you got to understand, Buzz and I have an adversarial, tough love relationship. That's how we get the best out of each other.
All right. And I think I have a very similar relationship with Joe to Cameron.
But you're not trying to get the best out of Joe. You're trying to bring Joe down.
No, actually, I would love to get the best out of Joe because I've talked about the fact I think he needs to eat better and I think he needs to exercise and do all that stuff. Like, I really do believe that.
Yeah. I mean, I just get on his side. Just. I'll have one more day to try to convince you tomorrow. Let's go to Sly in West Philly. What's up, Sly?
Hey, what's up, everybody? How you guys doing?
Doing great, Sly.
Yeah, the one thing I want to say about the situation with Joel Embiid, first of all, I think that the organization, to me, kind of is a train wreck just based off of the fact that I never thought that they would ever be rewarded for trying to deliberately lose for years at a time. And the person engineering it was a non-sportsman.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
So numbers
a
guy.
Non-sportsman would not know to get Joel Embiid the best possible medical staff and all that. To me, Hanky was a person who had to tell, it was like an economics class. It was like widgets. He was like looking at it like, okay, I'm going to just draft the best, the guys that's rated the best, but not the guys best for this team. So I looked at it like they were never going to be rewarded for doing things like that, not for multiple years. But at the same time, from Joel Embiid's perspective, it's really still about basketball. That guy had a chance to really paint the narrative on his legacy just by performing well. And he's had multiple opportunities in the playoffs to do that. And because he's such a temperamental adult, you never know who's going to show up when it comes down to that. And I think that's the thing. The Sixers is up 3-2 against Boston. It's like, okay, where is he? He's supposed to be the best player on the court.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Sly, and I appreciate the call, man. But yeah, and I think that's kind of the thing when you look at Joel Embiid and you look at the history of him here, is the problem that I've had is just he's unwilling, it seems like, to take the criticism when you're the star mm-hmm. player. You're going to get the criticism, mm-hmm. bottom line.
Not easy in today's world to hear it coming from every which way, all day, every day.
But part of the job, man.
And I agree with you, but in reading this article, you know, we learned that there's a lot that he has trouble facing.
Right.
He's sensitive.
For a variety of reasons. Yeah, he's a sensitive, empathic person, and this is part of what makes him so interesting, but also, it gets in the way.
Yeah, definitely. Final brief for our Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Who do you blame for the Sixers' failures, Joel Embiid or the Sixers? John, where do you think this one came down?
Oh, man. everyone's so mad at both, it's really hard to guess. I'm going to say 45% say Sixers, 55% say Joel.
You've been way off this week. 79% say the Sixers are to blame.
Wow.
Not Joel Embiid. Wow. So that's the final tally for the Twitter poll question today.
I can't wait for the poll question after the Sixers funnel their response through some reporter.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It'll be flip-flopped.
To see how this plays out moving forward here. But fun show today. We'll be back with you live from the Borgata tomorrow. Thanks to Vani. Thanks to Buzz for producing the show. Midday show coming up next right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.